Achan made a big mistake. He thought that what was harem could be put in his own possession. You see, if God is angry and he wants wicked stuff destroyed, you can't hang on to it. If you do, you're going to get in trouble. And that's what happened to Achan. He thought that he could fool God, that there wouldn't be a prophetic search party come after him. But he found out wrong, didn't he? Because when he hid those things under his bed in his tent or whatever he did, the Lord alerted Joshua as to the tribe and the clan and the family and then the actual person. And he was found. And you see, there is a curse. The word is kelalah, curse. Sometimes it's the word harem means curse. Like, look at the very last verse of Malachi. This is the way the Tanakh ends, with a curse. Look at Malachi chapter 4, verse 6, or the last verse in Malachi. In this Bible, it's on page 389. It says, "And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children," page 389, "and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth or the land with a harem, a curse." And you see, people don't understand. There's a curse coming after me. You know, when we take the Seder of the Mashiach, you know, remember on the night of his arrest, it was Passover, Pesach season, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Now, if you eat and drink unworthily, if you eat and drink like an Achan with secret sin," look, he's preparing, in 1 Corinthians, he's preparing the people for that. He says, these things that happened in the Tanakh, they are for our warning. And if you set your heart on evil desires as they did, then these curses that overtook them will overtake you, and you'll be eating and drinking judgment on yourself if you don't discern the body, the Mashiach's body. What does that mean? It means that you have to see that there was a curse on you. You say, "What are you talking about, a curse?" Look, friends, you all know about the Kennedy family. They were Irish people, right? And the patriarch, he was into the bootleg whiskey stuff. Remember the mob in Chicago and Al Capone and the speakeasies and with people making homemade liquor in their bathtub and prohibition and all of that. He made a lot of money, and it was wicked money. It was liquor money. It was illegal money. It was cursed money. And with that money, he thought he could buy the presidency for his son. He thought, you know, as a matter of fact, there were some sheriffs or some corrupt policemen or something. And they were actually giving out money to get people to go and vote. And a lot of people feel that Nixon lost the election not just because of the debate, but because of the corruption of people that took money and then went and voted because they were paid off, so to speak. They were bribed. And that curse was in the Kennedy family. And notice, everybody in the family seems to be cursed. It says right here in Deuteronomy, cursed is everyone who does not fulfill all of these words of the Torah. This is the last verse of Deuteronomy chapter 27. All the words of the Torah, to do them. In other words, not just to be a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. If you're not a doer of the word, then there's a curse on you. Now look, if you were Bobby Kennedy in Los Angeles at that hotel, when Sirhan was getting his gun loaded in the kitchen. If you were Jack Kennedy in that convertible in Dallas when old what was his name, the assassin? I can't think now. Ruby. Lee Harvey Oswald. How can we forget his name? Lee Harvey Oswald. When Lee Harvey Oswald was setting up his rifle up there in the textbook warehouse there along the parade route, if you had been Jack Kennedy getting in that convertible from the airport, if you had been Bobby walking back into that kitchen in Los Angeles in that hotel, if you had been Jack Kennedy's son getting in that airplane, you remember the plane crash? If you had been one of those people, you would have a feeling, a visceral feeling, that there was a curse on you. Would you not? Would you? Am I making this up? In other words, when the old man, Joe, is that his name? Old man Joe Kennedy. When he was raking in all that money from the speakeasies, you know, I imagine, you know, there was a lot of money to be made, millions and millions and millions of dollars. If you got a speakeasy in Chicago, multiply that by 1,000 or however many speakeasies there were, where, you know, you go up to the door and you speak easy, you know, and they let you in, and the whole thing is illegal whiskey, and the truck that delivered this whiskey is coming from old man Joe Kennedy, and that's cursed money. And people like my brother are going to die of alcoholism. People like my grandfather is going to be an old drunk, a mean old drunk, and they're going to be drinking that whiskey. And here's this guy breaking the law, and he's doing something wicked. He should be in jail, and the law can't quite catch up with him. But I want to tell you something. There's a higher law. It's found in the Torah, and the Torah says the last verse of Deuteronomy 27. Cursed is every man who does not uphold all of the words of this Torah to do it. Now, let me tell you something. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's no one who could say, well, I did all the law. I did the whole thing. I'm blameless. Because, you see, first of all, your heart is uncircumcised. So right there, you're a violator. You have to be born. What did Yeshua say to Nicodemus? He said, you must be born again. Here's a good rabbi. He's a very nice rabbi, a kind of tzaddik, you know. He's on the Sanhedrin. He's a teacher in Israel. He considers himself a blameless man as far as the Torah is concerned. And yet Yeshua says to him, You, Rabbi Nicodemus, you must be born again. Your heart is not circumcised. You have to get a Lev Tahor. You have to be born from heaven. You have to get a regenerated spirit. You must be born again, born from above. You must become a new creature. You got to get new eyes to see and new ears to hear. You got to be regenerated. You got to be born again. And you're not, and here you are, you're a rabbi, and you don't know this. You haven't read Ezekiel, where it says, it talks about the Lev Tahor and the Ruach HaDeshah. Am I wrong here, Wayne? Isn't there a Ruach HaDeshah, a new spirit? Isn't there a Lev Tahor, a clean new heart? Isn't that found in Ezekiel? I think it's chapter 36 or somewhere in there. And so, you see, everybody, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But here's what you've got to understand. When you see the Mashiach ben David, when you see him hanging on the tree, why is he hanging there? Why is he hanging there? He's hanging there because a curse has to be taken. Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, it says in the Torah. What curse am I talking about? I'm talking about my curse. I'm talking about your curse. You have to understand that. Otherwise, you don't have any comprehension of what you're looking at. You're seeing Moshiach ben David hanging on a tree, and you're not seeing why he's hanging there, what's put him there, Who is responsible? You say, oh yeah, the Jews, they did it. No, friend, you. Your curse put him there. Because cursed is everyone who's hanged on a tree. Cursed is everyone who does not uphold all the words of this Torah to do it. He became a curse for us so that we might avoid the curse, so that we might be delivered, be redeemed from the curse. And here you have all these Jewish people in Israel, and here we see they're slaves. They're in bondage. They're owned, lock, stock, and barrel. Who owns them? Why, Pharaoh and the Egyptians own them, and they're under hard taskmasters. How are they going to get liberated? How are they going to become free men? Well, again, there has to be blood. It is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Look at that sign right over there. It is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. And the lamb, has to be led to the slaughter. The Pesach Korban lamb has to be led to the slaughter. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. In other words, the curse that was coming for you, that was going to kill your firstborn, that terrible curse is going to skip you. It's going to pass over you. Why? Because of the blood. What does that mean? That means the little lamb, has to go to his death so that I can go to life. So that I can live, he has to die. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So that's the situation. Now, when I come to the Lord's table, I have to examine myself. You understand that? I have to examine myself. I have to purge out the old hametz. I've got to have a spring house cleaning of my soul. And if I have an evil desire for something, and I'm hiding that in my heart, like old Achan, he hid the harem spoils that were devoted for destruction. He hid them in his tent, and he thought nobody would find them. Nobody would know. And see, there are people who are sitting in the house of the Lord right now, and they think that because nobody seems to know what's going on with their secret little life of sin, they think, like David and Bathsheba, that it's a perfect crime and that nobody's going to know. But we know that God knows everything. His security cameras are everywhere. And he does nothing without first sharing what he's doing with his prophet. He says, should I go down to Sodom and Gomorrah and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah without first letting Abraham know? You know, I got to let him know. He's got to know. So then Abraham begins this intercessory prayer to try to find a minion so that God will spare. If he can find just 10, then he won't destroy the wicked with the righteous. But he finds out that there isn't that many. And you know something? Really, when you get down to it, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we're all cursed with a curse. And we all need a Savior. And so when you get to the book of Romans, what do you see? The wrath of God is revealed from heaven. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven. People are always talking about the weather. Is it going to be snow? Is it going to be another hurricane? Or is it going to be a tsunami? What kind of weather are we having? When you look up into the sky, you need to see one thing, the wrath of God. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Where was it revealed? Well, when you read the book of Romans, you find out, first of all, God has turned people over to their wickedness. And that's how we know, because of their wickedness, that the wrath of God is actually at work. Because the first thing God does with Sodom and Gomorrah, after Lot is sent in there, and when they mistreat him, and then the angels, they've come for the Lord, and they're trying to see if it's really as bad as the report had been, when the people are evacuated, in other words, when the angels, these are destroying angels, when they come and they tell Lot, he's got to get out. What does that mean? That means that the people are being turned over. They're being handed over to their wickedness. In other words, all right, you people, you want to be perverts. You want to defy the Lord. You want to put the Lord to the test. You want to see if the Lord can really rain fire from heaven. If he can really bring Sodom and Gomorrah under the hell fire and damnation, sulfur and brimstone. You want to find out? You want to put him to the test and find out? Okay, all right. You just wait, because he's going to turn you over to your perversion. He's going to evacuate the people of God. It's sort of almost like a foreshadow of the rapture. And then the wrath of God is going to come. And when it comes, it's going to be revealed. It's going to be revealed in fire. And when Rav Shaul gets to his good news message, he says the wrath of God is revealed on Moshiach ben David hanging on the tree. Well, how does that reveal the wrath of God? Because he took the wrath of God. He propitiated. That's what you get in chapter 3. He propitiated. He appeased. He calmed down the wrath of God. Hallelujah. So that we could escape. Hallelujah. He gave his life. You know, sometimes in a firefight, in a battle situation, you will have one soldier. He will say, "Okay, we all can't get out of here, but I'm gonna hold the enemy off until the rest of you get out." So they run out the back door, and here's this one soldier, and he's using up all of his ammunition. He's outnumbered, and it's going to cost him his life, but he's going to save the others. You realize that's what Yeshua did for you? He stood like a lightning rod between you and the fiery electrical wrath of Almighty God, and he took it. He took the whole thing in your place as your substitute, so that you could be saved, so that you could live. And that's what the book of Romans is, and that's basically the gospel. And when you walk around, you need to see that wrath everywhere. Because if you don't, you won't be thinking of how you can talk to people. Because people are trying to pretend that everything is going fine. You're going to live a long time. Everything is, it's interesting to see how people react to Linda's health condition right now. Because in their little world, they want to think that everybody is healthy, everybody lives to a ripe old age, and there are no real problems. And we just, if we do see something, we kind of sweep it under the rug and kind of change the subject and try to overlook it. But when somebody's coming to your house, taking care of your children or whatever, and you see them every week, and then all of a sudden you find they have this devastating thing where their kidneys are shut down and they have no kidney function at all, and they have to either go on dialysis or get a transplant or something. This completely throws everything off. And you see, now she has a way of talking to people. She can say, "You know, but I still have my Lord. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so the Lord is going to save me one way or the other." And she can get right down to talking about the real issues of life, which is, are you saved or not? Saved from what? Saved from the wrath of God. That's what it's all about. Saved from the wrath of God. Listen, when I eat the Lord's Supper, when I take that matzah and I take that cup, I want to examine myself. Because I don't want to desire the evil things that they desire. You remember what Rabbi Shaul said? He said they had a mikvah. They were immersed in the Red Sea. And they went under the water, you might say, with Moshe. You know, they had a mikvah mayim tevilah immersion, you might say. And y'all remember the manna? They had the divine food from heaven, but most of them did not survive the wilderness trek. Their bodies were littering the desert. Why? Because they were not acceptable to the Lord. They did not please the Lord. And because of their evil desires, they fell under the wrath of God. And he says, that's a warning to you and to me. Lest my wicked desires take me under. And so what do I have to do at this season? I have to purge out the old humitz of malice and wickedness. And I have to be new Pesach matzah. Right? I need the renewing of my mind. I need the old life has to be put under a churban ban, you know, destruction. And I have to walk in the newness of life as a korban chai, a living sacrifice. And when I come to the table of the Lord, I have to examine myself. Because you remember what he says? Some of you are sick. And some have even fallen asleep. Why? Because you did not discern the lamb. Hallelujah. You see, if I say, look, I don't need a lamb. It doesn't matter that the lamb died. I can get out of Egypt somehow. I don't need God. I'll worry about these things my own way. You know what? You're not going to make it because that curse was a greyhound dog you could not outrun. If you were in a house without blood on the mezuzah and the on the doorposts of the house, then you were in trouble. If there was no blood there, it was going to be blood. It was going to be your blood. If you were the firstborn in the house, it was going to be your blood. So it was either the lamb's blood or your blood. You know, bloodshed. It's the idea of bloodshed. Shofach dam, I think it's in Hebrew. It's a very scary thing. You know, nobody wants to die. And yet, it's going to be one or the other. It's either the lamb's blood or my blood, if I'm the firstborn of the house. When that curse comes, it's going to get me, unless the lamb takes the curse for me. And that's what the lamb did. The lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. That's what he did. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to take this purple book. Mr. Wayne, if you'll come please and pass this out to page 60. The bottom page numbers. What we're going to do is we're going to take the Moshiach Seder in a Jewish way right now. We're going to actually read in English and in Hebrew the service that's found in Everything You Need to Grow a Messianic Shul. You're going to read the English and I'm going to read the Hebrew, okay? And we're going to put this up on our website so that you can look at it again and again however you want. So open your Bible, Bible and also your Siddur. If you want to open your Bible, you should open it to Exodus chapter 12, or possibly to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 and 2, where he says, you should understand my brothers. Okay, so I'm going to read this and you read it with me. You see that? Page 60, everything you need to grow a Messianic synagogue. You should understand, read this with me, my brothers, that our ancestors were all under the pillar of cloud, and all of them passed through the Red Sea. And so they all received mikvah mayim tevilah, immersion into the havurah of Moshe Rabbeinu in cloud and sea. Now I'm going to read it in Hebrew. Velo ahed mikem echai asher avotenu hayu hulam tahat ne'anan hulam avru batok hayam v'hulam nitbalu limoshe be'anan uvayam. This water prefigured the mikvah mayim tevilah of Mashiach, through which you are now delivered to safety. Moshiach's tevilah is not the washing away of bodily uncleanness, but the appeal made to Elohim by a clear conscience, and it brings salvation through the resurrection of Yeshua HaMashiach. V'zehu ot tevilah asher ka'et toshia gam otanu lo v'hasir tinuf habasar ki'im bish'al lanu me'et Elohim ruach shalima al yedei hakamat Yeshua HaMashiach. Okay, keep reading with me. Page 63. It says, they all ate the same supernatural food. Read it out loud with me. And all drank the same supernatural drink. I mean, they all drank from the supernatural rock that accompanied their travels. And that rock was Moshiach. And yet, most of them were not accepted by God, for the desert was strewn with their corpses. These events happened as symbols to warn us not to set our desires on evil things as they did. V'hulam achlu ma'ho ehad ruhani. V'hulam shatu mashke ehad ruhani. Ki shatu min hazur haruhani haholek. Im ma'hem v'has... Tzur, Hahu Haya HaMoshiach, Aval Brubam Lo Ratza HaElokim Ufigrehem Naflu HaMidbar. Vahol Zot Haita Lanu Lamofet Livilti Hit Avot Lara'a Kaasher Hitavu Gam Hema. It follows that anyone who eats the bread, say it with me, or drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily will be guilty of desecrating the body and blood of the Lord. A man must examine himself before eating his share of the bread and drinking from the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment on himself if he does not discern the body. Lahen mi sheyachol min halekam hazeh o yishte mikos ha'adom shelo ha'ra'ui yasham leguf aroneinu uladamo yivchan ha'ish et nafsho va'az yohal min halekam v'yishte min hakos ki ha'ohu v'hashoteh shelo ha'ra'ui ohu v'shoteh din l'nafsho ya'an asher lo hifla et guf ha'adon. Now turn to page 65. It says, have you ever, say this with me, never heard the saying, a little leaven leavens all the dough? The old leaven of corruption is working among you. Purge it out, and then you will be bread of a new baking. As believers, you are unleavened Passover bread. For indeed our Pesach has begun. The sacrifice is offered. Mashiach himself, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Halo yadatem ki Ma'atzeor Mehametz et Kol Ha'isa Ba'aru et Haseor Hayashan Lama'an Tihu Isa Hadasha Halo Lechem Matzot Atem Ki Gam Lanu Fishenu Hanizbach Ba'adenu Hu Hamoshiach Se Ha'elokim Hanoseh Hatat Ha'olam. Lord, we confess our sins. Say that with me. Lord, we confess our sins. Adonai nitvadeh et hatotenu. And then turn with me to page 67. It says, if we confess our sins, He is just and may be trusted to forgive our sins and cleanse us from every kind of wrong. Your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Ve'im nitvadeh et hatotenu ne'eman hu batzadik lizloach lanu et hatotenu u taharenu mikol avon nislahu lachem hatotechem Lama'an Shemo. Form your own judgment on what I say. When we bless the cup of blessing, say this with me. Is it not a means of sharing in the Kippurah of Mashiach? When we break the bread, is it not a means of sharing in the body of Mashiach? Because there is one loaf, we, many as we are one body, for it is one loaf of which we all partake. V'shiftu atem et asher omar, kos habracha asher anachnu, mevarachim halo hi hithabrut dam hamashiach, v'halechem asher anachnu, votzaim halo hu hithabrut guf hamashiach. Ki lechem ehad hu lachen gam guf ehad anachnu harabim ba'asher lehulanu helek balechem ehad. Now let's hold up the matzah. Take the piece of matzah right now, and we're going to pass these out. Go ahead and do that for us, please. Give one to everybody. Baruch atah Adonai, Elokeinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. They all ate the same supernatural food. And we have in our hands right now the matzah that the Lord said, this is my body, which is broken for you. And so we need to discern the body. So look at those piercings and look at those stripes in that matzah. This is like the apokomen, the middle matzah that was broken and put away and seemed to be gone, and it seemed to disappear. And then out of nowhere, at the end, it reappears. And that's what happened with his body. It seemed to be gone, and then it came back. And we know that when he says, this is my body, he's talking about Chaye Olam. He's talking about you. We know that no one with a curse has Chaye Olam. But if Moshiach takes your curse, then you have hope for eternal life. And not only that, but if you take the Moshiach's supper frequently, and you purge out the wickedness, you repent, you turn from the evil thing in your heart, whatever it might be, and you don't hide it. Instead, you confess it, renounce it, and forsake it. Oh, hallelujah, then there's hope. Now look at this. Look at page 69 Look what it says here. For the tradition which I handed on to you came to me from the Lord himself, that the Lord Yeshua, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is for you." It's for you. "Do this as a memorial of me. Ki ho kibalti anochi min ha'adon et asher gam masharti lachem ki ha'adon Yeshua balayla hahu asher nimsar bo lakak et halechem vayevarech vayivtsa vayomer kahu iklu." It says, "Ze guf hanipta ba'adhem asu zot lezikroni." And then he says, "Baruch ata adonai Elokeinu melech ha'olam bore peri hagafen." He takes the cup. So let's distribute the cup. Before we do that, we're going to do this last blessing on page 69. It says, "Baruch ata adonai Elokeinu melech ha'olam bore peri hagafen. Vehen gam et hakos ahar vesuda vayomar hakos hazot hi habri hadasha badami asu zot lezikroni baho et shetishtu." Then it says, the reader pours from the cup, "Ki baho et shetoklu et halekam hazer v'tishtu et hakos hazot." It says, "Hazker taskiru et mot adonenu ad ki yavo." For every time you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes.